We have a project here at The World called 50 States. We're visiting cities and towns across the country to get a sense of how globalization is affecting communities like yours. Today, we head to Eastport, Maine. As its name suggests, Eastport is the easternmost port in the U.S. The city has survived more than 200 years living off the sea. And as The World's Jason Margolis reports, it's been a constant tale of reinvention.
Eastport's population is 1,352. It has a handful of restaurants in the tiny downtown. During winter, they're mostly closed. Washington County is one of the poorest parts of the United States. The area struggles with high unemployment and opioid abuse.
We've had a lot of deaths from overdoses. Five people that I knew last year died, or the kids that I know died. It's horrible.
That's ship pilot Bob Peacock. We spoke at the city's downtown port. We'll hear more from him in a bit. A century ago, it was a different story in Eastport. It was the sardine capital of America. Regular ferries ran from here to Boston. Kristen McKinley, who founded the Tides Institute and Museum of Art in town, shows me a photo of Eastport from that time. Three boys, ages 7 to 9, standing in front of a pile of sardines.
They would be pulled out of school, there would be a whistle blown, and there'd be whistles for different factories, so they'd hear their whistle, and then they would run down the hills downtown with the knives with them, and then work until the fish were gone.
By the 1980s, Eastport's sardine industry was diminished, but still flourishing.
They were also making cosmetic glitter from the colorful slime off the back of the scales. It's called pearl essence. There were three pearl essence factories here.
Chris Bartlett is a commercial fishing specialist with the University of Maine who lives in town. He says eventually sardines and other fishing businesses dried up, and the town did too.
Our elementary school was built to house 250 students from K-12. We now have 86 students there.
The area still does have salmon farming and lobster fishing, and its port. A few years back, the Eastport Port Authority got an unusual phone call. A port employee relayed the information to the port's director, Chris Gardner, that a Texas company was looking for a place to ship cows to Turkey. Pregnant cows.
I said, they want to ship pregnant cows out of Eastport. He said, yes. I said, how are they going to do it? They're going to put them in boxes. At this point in time, I honestly thought it was half a joke. But I realized it wasn't. And he said, what should I tell them? I said, well, simply, Skip, tell them, of course, yes. He said, we have no idea how to do this. I said, exactly, and neither does anyone else.
And so for 3 years, the town was kind of booming again. Then in 2014, the cow exports collapsed when southern Turkey became too unstable. Again, ship pilot Bob Peacock.
It's funny, in an international situation, when you're a port like this, what happens anywhere in the world affects you. And you figure that out pretty quick when your income comes from piloting ships and all of a sudden there's no ships because of a war in Syria. It's a very interesting setup.
So what do? You build off the cows, says Chris Gardner.
What was most important from the cows is it illustrated that new things can happen. Here we have literally the deepest natural seaport, not in our county, not in our state, but in the nation. And with all the changes that are taking place in global shipping, for a rural county who is just looking for a way out, well, why couldn't this be that way out?
It's also the closest American port to Europe, but it's isolated, tucked away in the extreme northeast corner of the country. And some residents, like retired teacher and bed and breakfast owner Gregory Noyce, aren't convinced by the sales pitch.
I'm not sure that it's realistic. There's no way, as far as I can tell, to get goods out of Eastport. There's not a major highway. There's not a rail service. There needs to be a way to get goods and services in and out easily.
Many here share that concern, including people working around the port. Then enter Donald Trump and his talk of rebuilding America's infrastructure. Ship pilot Bob Peacock liked that.
When he talked about infrastructure, I think most people in this area understood exactly what he's talking about.
That's because one of Eastport's piers collapsed 3 years ago.
It created a tsunami in the harbor that went up and got the windows in the bottom of these buildings.
It happened in the middle of the night. Only one person was injured, but it's costing more than $15 million to fix. The federal government is picking up half that tab. Let's go back to Chris Gardner one last time. He hopes Washington will keep investing in his community.
We're going to be pushing on that. Because quite honestly, with the deepest natural seaport in the United States of America, how do you not connect that to a railroad, especially when it's in one of the poorest counties this nation has. It's a conversation that needs to be had and will be had. So this asset exists. There is the political will and climate to see this port grow, and all we need is that infrastructure.
Question is, are Washington politicians and President Trump willing to invest potentially tens or hundreds of millions of dollars into a city of 1,352 to back that up? For The World, Jason Margolis, Eastport, Maine.
If you'd like to be part of our 50 states coverage, just go to PRI.org and tell us your story and how globalization is affecting your community. Or just tweet us using the hashtag 50 states.